Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the chapter of Worldview. I'm looking forward to it just being an amazing conversation because this book has been really great. It's really helped me to have a new perspective on every different of these nuances. Like I said, you know, you look up what you think this kind of a concept is, and then Daniel just goes, bam, and gives you a different one. So it's really good.
No kidding.
Let me go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy, on. Amy, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm very confused. Do I get out my binoculars or my telescope to do the worldview?
Well, if you got binoculars, you can go both directions, you know. You can look at it from the big side, or you can look at it from the inside. There you go.
Well, there you go. You just solved my problem.
I know. Haven't you ever done that? I've done that when you have, like, binoculars and you just flip them over and you look the other way.
Of course
sure.
I haven't.
That's always really interesting. And Miss Elena,
have
you done that? You, like, flipped your binoculars the other way so you just everything gets small?
Absolutely. My grandmother had a rule. She had these huge, like, professional-grade binoculars. Don't ask me why. The woman just had lots of things that, like, you're just like, okay, cool, we have these amazing professional binoculars. But we would totally play with those all the time. Flip them one way, flip them back the other.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
well,
I love that.
Perfect for what we're talking about. See, I didn't know how clever
exactly.
I really was. Wow.
Yeah. There you go. Talk about segues. This is a good thing.
I think I could
just
drop
the mic. I was really interested. Yeah, I was interested that at the beginning of the chapter, Daniel talks about his dad and how he had been dreaming that he was a part of the Dalai Lama's court and spent time with Dalai Lama because he had been involved in the Second World War as a child. And it really affected him experiencing the anti-Semitism that was full of what people were talking about at that time. And he had such a hard time finding peace. And I think that was really something that was really profound about being able to have this worldview and really talk about, you know, from childhood, how are we being molded by the different things that we experience? And it can be good or bad. And we'll talk about that a little bit later about, you know, there could be three different ways that we look at that. And depending on which one you choose for your perspective can really just make all the difference of, you know, I'm calling this show The Tremendous Power to Do Extraordinary Things, Our Worldview. And I think that's really true because some of it's just, you know, where are we choosing to put our energy? Where are we choosing to, how do we want to look at the world and how we can have that be something for just having that positive change. So what do you think about that, Alana?
I think that, you know, for sure, like the way that we start, you know, I love the way that we can have all these different views and I like the way he's categorized the views and that the way, like, just these three different ways that you can see things, it really, I think each one has its own gist, right, like he's talking about, but each of them also has its own little drawback, and so I think that I love this chapter. I love this chapter because it's one of the key chapters for me and why I became a Unitarian Universalist and joined this man's church is because it was so because it's so open, you know, and so practical. I love the way he thinks about things and the openness that he has to all of these viewpoints.
Well, let's just jump to that then, you know, since we've kind of talked about it a little bit. So he says, you know, that in looking at the world, we can have three different stances. The world or the universe is essentially evil, indifferent, or life-giving. And Daniel goes on to talk about that, about, you know, depending on which way you want to have your worldview, gosh, it just molds, you know, is the glass half full, half empty? I don't know why, but that's the kind of way I'm thinking about that. Or just totally doesn't serve me at all, and I'm like, why am I even on the planet? You know, that kind of thing. So how about you, Amy?
I think that I see the world differently in different parts of my world. And as we're talking, kind of unfolding, you know, with different groups of people, I have a more hopeful view than I do with other groups of people. So I guess my worldview is composed of a whole bunch of different worlds coming together. Where I have to say, you know, one of the things I like to say about myself is that I'm an optimistic critical thinker. And so overall, I'm optimistic and I believe in people and I believe people are inherently good if you can help them clear off their pain and to come from who they really are, not their pain. But I guess as we're talking, I'd probably take those binoculars and go back and forth depending on who I'm working with.
I love that. It's a very interesting way of looking at the whole thing. Elena?
The question is, what do I think of having different worldviews?
Kind of like, are you in the same kind of camp as Amy, where depending on the circumstances and who I might have for my perspective, is it could be, hopeful or evil or indifferent?
Oh yeah, I think that for sure. I do think that so many things come from pain, right? They come from pain, and they come from our experiences growing up, and it's just like, you know. Like he's talking about this man, you know, in the Nazi camps, you know, and he grew up in a Nazi camp, but he still came out of life with this beautiful worldview, and I think, you know, but like, so I really don't know. I have to say, I really don't know where that like innate like are we gonna have? I would love to know that, right? Like, what determines how we actually truly end up formulating our worldview, you know? As, I mean, environment obviously was so different for this man. I wonder what his father taught him in the camps, you know? But he did see the kindness of people to rescue him. So I just wonder, like, what is it really that shapes this man to serve his community so beautifully in sharing his story and helping other people become educated. You know, what makes that person be that way? That's the question we're all trying to figure out, right?
Right. May I share something?
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a significant emotional event that changed my worldview and I think really helped me to become a humanitarian in everything that I do, doesn't mean I don't get paid for things, but I come from a humanitarian perspective, is, and Robin, I don't know if this is your experience too, but our grandfather, Nielsen, Great Dane, N-I-E-L-S-E-N, he was an amazing man. He was a deacon in his church, but he was a little bit tough in the religion. I mean, Baptist, and I'm not trying to put down Baptist, but, you know, that was, you know, if it looked like fun, you didn't do it, right? And I remember, and I don't remember how old he was, but it was a couple of years before he died, so he probably was 90, and Grandma were together 60 years, and that he had this amazing peace about him and grace about him, and he and I had a wonderful conversation. I didn't get to see him very often, but this conversation was that he had died, and he had cancer, he had heart stuff, and he had died, and he went to the other side. And it was so peaceful, and it was so loving, and it was everything that he wanted it to be. And he knew he had to come back and help our grandmother with paperwork and make sure she was okay before he left. And he knew he would come back to tremendous pain, and he had suffering physically. But he would have that pain, but he still had this kind, loving look. And it really changed how I think I'm in the world, and that I trust him and believe in him, and if he believes that strongly, then I'm willing to go there too.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Yeah, because like one thing that we're talking with, going back to the story about the man that Daniel had known that had grown up in the concentration camp, his whole knowing, he just said, "We are good." You know, we are good, and being, you know, good people and all that. Daniel also shared a story in this chapter about a friend of his named Mary that lived in Covington, Kentucky. And, you know, he said she embodied the worldview aspects by the way that she lived. You know, she believed that hope was given to us and it was a part of us and that we needed to nourish it. She said it was an extraordinary, we are extraordinary and we are capable of extraordinary things. And he goes on to talk about how he had gone to go have dinner with her and her husband one night. They were waiting for him to come. And there was a homeless man that was in their neighborhood. And the way that she treated him and the way that she greeted him and gave him so much encouragement that was really subtle but yet effective. And just this love and care that she gave to him, he was just really touched by that. And thinking about, you know, she really shared with him that, you know, as I go in the world, I see, you know, God in all people. I see God, you know, if I see pain in him or loneliness, I know that I'm connected in that loneliness because it's also a part of me. Just really profound, the way that she touched him and helped him to see things in a lot of different ways. And it made me really look at, you know, the questions at the end of the chapter about when it comes to like world vision and, you know, how do I carry that? It made me think about that, you know, am I capable of being able to be that kind of a person that Mary is? Oh, she can engage. Well, thank you. I hope so. But it made me kind of step back a little bit and say, you know, what do I believe in when it comes to vision and stuff like that? And, you know, I would like us to take a little bit of time to talk about that as well. So anything else with that story about Mary that touched either one of you?
Well, I know that Mother Teresa, I've done a lot of reading about her, and for her was seeing Christ in every person. And kind of for me is a lot of the work that I do, my job as a professional agitator, is to get people's angst up and why they haven't accomplished the things that they want to accomplish. And how I'm able to do that and not take it personally a lot of times is what I'm looking at is the child in there that so wants to have the life they want to have, who wants to be happy. So that's another way, I guess, you can look at it for me, is that child who's been wounded by whatever has happened in their life, that I can focus on them and know that if I can help them to smile, I can help them to learn some skills to maybe reparent themselves, that they can, you know, really live a happy life and a fulfilled life and not take it personally when their pain is, you know, hurt people. And so I work to not take that personally.
Mm-hmm. Elena?
For me, I just love the story about Mary because, you know, it reminds me of our good friend Arnold Stock. And just the way that he serves the homeless. He sees all of these people, no matter how they come into homelessness, you know, or experiencing homelessness, he gives them, he treats them equally with his human, you know, as just part of humanity, you know, just loves them wholly and fully and helps them exactly where they need to be helped to help them get on their feet. And I think that's what, you know, it's seeing people and loving them completely. And I think that's what Mary does. That's what Arnold does. That's what you do. You know, we all try to do, and, you know, just, hoping that people feel loved in your presence. And one of the ways that Mary did that, I love that, you know, she took his hand. She spoke his name casually. She really listened to him. You know, she showed caring, actively showed caring towards him. And that is so key. You know, I mean, that's when people talk about, you know, Jesus in that way, you know, that he, you know, went and spoke with the lepers. He touched them. He saw them as whole people. And seeing people as whole people really makes all the difference in a relationship and how someone sees themselves whenever somebody else shows up and shows you how much you can be loved and you can accept that love and be seen. It makes a world of difference in someone's life.
Classes, you know, and teaching people leadership. One of the things that always strikes home for me is if you treat people like idiots, they're going to act like idiots. And if you treat people like they're gold and precious and valuable, they will act that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to send you to sharelasvegas.org so you can see what Arnold is up to. And one of the things, his worldview is that homelessness and hunger can be eradicated. And he is holding that, and everything he does, every action he takes, every collaboration he creates is based on that worldview.
Hmm.
It's amazing to watch.
Well, and you know, just like we were talking about before, it's like, where did that come from? How did he get so inspired that, you know, he holds that in such a precious way?
I think we need to have him on the show. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be a real great extension to the conversation. I mean, where did that come from?
Let's
him?
Ask him.
Yeah,
I love it. I love listening to him speak. I think he has a Boston accent of some sort. He makes me. It thrills me to listen to him. That would be great.
He's got that drawl thing, you know, whatever. You know, the Boston's the sound, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely want to put that
on
the table. And I think that's another thing, right, of how we can change our worldview is by mentorship of people that we don't even know personally, by watching what they're doing and watching what they create. And you're like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can do something too. And I think that's really amazing. In my own personal experience, with my own worldview, when I worked for the Department of Defense, I worked full-time and went to school at night for 7 years on that fast-track program. And I was offered an amazing intern program for the Air Force Audit Agency. And I had been an auditor assistant, so I was going through college. And I realized my job was to go in and to find things wrong. And that was starting to affect my personality. It was affecting my worldview. And it was one of the hardest things I ever did, but I turned that down. And I ended up getting an even better position. It was a 5-year intern program in contracting. But the reason that I chose not to take the thing that was set up for me that I had worked so hard to get was I started noticing my worldview was people aren't good, people make mistakes, and I didn't want to live like that.
But it also tempered you for the kind of counseling work and support work that you do for people now. You know, really, it's like you can look from that and be able to say, you know, where are the ways that you can spring forward from that and seek to be, you know, proactive or whatever from that. So it serves,
well,
it serves because
it takes
it's,
a lot of courage
it's that balance.
To look at your
world yeah.
too, don't you think? It takes a lot of courage to say, you know, this is what I've been doing. Maybe I should look at maybe tweaking it, trying something different.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I've heard so many people talking about, you know, from COVID that, you know, the real invitation now is to be able to pivot. Pivot seems to be the new word out there from this is what I've been doing and I want to pivot to that much more of me being able to use my gifts and talents in the world and not apologizing for that, you know, and being able to show my extraordinariness in what I am and being able to be that for the whole. And that, to me, that's a great segue because I was going to talk about with the flowerful wisdom, you know, talk about flower power, really talking about hummingbirds tonight and really looking from the perspective of, you know, we're always talking about the flowers themselves, but we've got this beautiful, you know, system of the world, you know, ecological system that really works where, you know, our feathered friends are helping to, with the pollination just like bees do, just all these things that the flowers utilize, whole nature kingdom. To be able to have just all these ways that being able to take their pollen all over the world and being able to be that much more impactful for, you know, having us being fruitful and multiplying, literally, you know, through our food and everything else that we do. And I think hummingbirds are really a neat thing to look at when it comes from that such a micro thing that's one of the smallest birds in the world. And it actually, hummingbirds are the smallest birds that migrate. And they'll migrate from you know, from America to Mexico, to South America. And it's like a 500-mile trip over the ocean in the Gulf to go there, and they don't stop. So there's just this thrust of knowing that they have to get there, that kind of thing. And they're the only birds that can fly backwards and hover at this, you know, with different kinds of stuff and the way that they move and change. I think, like I said, we're talking about pivoting. Boy, what a great model that is of, like, you know, we can too. And being able to have ourselves being adaptable and being able to move and change in the way that mixing. And hummingbirds have no sense of smell. But
oh, wow.
Yet
they go straight to a flower and being able to get the nectar from that and being able to pollinate and feed themselves at the same time. So this
That's
is multiple
cool.
levels of functionality that are happening that they may not even know that they're doing. And, you know, everybody thinks that they drink from their beaks. They actually have a specialized tongue that actually goes in and gets the sugar, which is really interesting. I was like, I was reading some of the information on that. It's like, you know, they can lick the flower like, you know, 500 times in a second or something like
wow.
that. It's like crazy. That's crazy.
Well, I think you do that with an ice cream cone.
Yeah, that's true. I could do that with sweets. That's for sure. That's for sure. And even mm-hmm. some of them actually
I love when
sing,
the sister moments
I don't
enter into this. I love when the such sister moments enter into our podcast. It's fantastic.
And this happens all the time. Yeah, it happens all the time.
True reality. Here it is.
Right. And just like think of this thing, this little, beautiful little bird that has the least feathers out of any bird. I know part of it's their size, but just the fact that they're so aerodynamic that their every single feather has been uniquely gifted to the exact place on the body that it needs to be the fastest, one of the fastest birds on the planet. And yet it only weighs less than a nickel.
That's amazing.
Just amazing. And yet, you know, it has its family, it's territorial, it protects what it needs to protect, and it serves how it needs to serve. And on this global level, you know, you've got this macro micro level, you know, whether, you know, what side of the binoculars do you want to look at, and being able to be such a special gift to nature and just to a model of ourselves of being how to be adaptable and being able to pivot in the world. Tremendous power to do extraordinary things, and you know it weighs less than a nickel.
Wow. Well, shoot, if that bird can do it, I can do it.
Exactly. And talk about a world view, and how you know it's just something that impacts. You know, it's that idea that you know one little breeze from the you know the fluttering of a butterfly can be, you know, the storm on the other side of the planet. You know,
he talks about here in 59, as we experience life, we also experience change. It's good to be willing to challenge ourselves and to ask hard questions about why we see the world the way we do. And I just came off of a session I was part of on dealing with grief. And, you know, all the things that have happened in the last year and what's happened at work and, you know, in our businesses. And I've done a lot of work in the nonprofit world. And a lot of times a nonprofit is created because something happened to somebody that caused them grief. And mm-hmm. so we were looking at, you know, those wounding points that you have in your life. How does that help you to have a world view of being part of that solution?
Mm-hmm.
Then as you're doing your grief work, as you're doing your healing work, it makes it easier in my view and what I've experienced and what I've seen in others, that as you heal it, it makes it easier to see the world in a more positive way and a more proactive way, in a more how can I help others transition to.
Mm-hmm. So, Amy, I do feel like you're guided to kind of walk us through some kind of a quick exercise that would help people to be able to maybe tap into, like, you know, what would that be for me?
Yeah, well, let me see. Let's go to the questions and let's see what kind of bubbles up from there. So in the reflective questions, it talks about what vision of the world do you carry and what influences that. So that'll be your homework assignment, you know, play with that, right, and see where is that. And maybe who are some models, like my dear friend Michael Thrower, who runs the Adopt-A-Cop and Angel Tree with Community Connect Las Vegas. And he's had some very serious health challenges, and he just did this amazing online prayer conference and had no clue what he was doing. And he did it. He was kind. He was focused. He inspired others no matter what. And so really that helped, like, oh, all right, then I can do that. So part of your homework, I want you to be thinking about who are people in their worldview inspire you, inspire your heart dream. And you don't have to do your heart dream by yourself. You know, I really believe get really good at what you do and bring those gifts and talents to people who were doing it really well. So a great exercise, you can kind of imagine, so, okay, take some nice deep breaths. Imagine a year from now that there is a article written on you in Oprah Magazine, Magnolia Journal, People, whatever magazine you feel would be representative of the work that you do, what you want to accomplish. And in that article, it talks about this amazing thing that you did over the last year. So kind of be, what would that headline be? Maybe what would those pictures be? And who would be part of that project or that effort that was being accomplished? And allow yourself to feel that excitement of that story and that thing that you accomplished and how amazing what you have done is and how it inspires you and it inspires others. So for me, what just flashed for me, and this is not going to surprise one of my favorite people on this call. You're both my favorite, but, you know, my favorite at the moment. The Heart Work Hub and bringing together people who do heart work. And I can see in whatever, Oprah Magazine, Global Business Women, that this being highlighted, how what Alana and I have done is created a place for women to and men to live their heart dream, to live their gifts, fully supported by other people doing their heart work. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen over here.
Anything come up for either of you?
Elena?
Well, I think for me, for sure, like I have a vision of helping women, right? Of helping women, especially women in experiencing homelessness. I don't think I'm going to be that person who finds them a home. You know, I have enough people in my network for that, right?
Exactly.
But I think that I will be that person who will help them find whatever their heart dream is, and if it's self-employment, it's some kind of self-sufficiency, giving them the tools to believe in themselves to do the things that they want to do. And so I see a year from now that that's really starting to be cemented in who I am and the work that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they find that in tiny houses.
You know, that's what it feels like at the moment, so we'll just continue to lean into that, right? And then see what happens.
Sure.
You know, for me, it's helping people, once you've got food, right, and housing taken care of, then we can move to the other issues.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So how about you, Robin? Anything flash for you?
Well, I think, you know, one thing that came up for me while we were talking this stuff is, like, just think about, you know, this embracing expansion. And a great exercise I love to encourage people to do is go on YouTube and stuff and look at time-lapse flowers that are going from a bud to a bloom. Or see a landscape that's changing from, you know, all the different seasons. So you can see how things evolve and they could change, and you allow yourself to look at the beauty of change. I think that's one of the things that's been really wonderful about this book, is about embracing change in just so many ways. That, you know, whether it's trust or loyalty or looking at our faith, you know, there's just so many things that have been just encouraging with being able to have that. And Daniel is so great because, you know, it's just that underlining thing that we've talked about, you know, that I want to kind of bring into every show. It's like, what are you setting your heart upon? Mm-hmm. I think it's such an important thing. And, you know, with this chapter too, with the worldview, he says for every season, you know, look for every season there, you know, for everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So in looking at that, I really thought about, you know, when it comes to, you know, how is your vision influenced by actions? And I think, as you know, what would Jesus do? You know, we go back to Mary about, you know, there's, you know, I see Jesus, I see God in every person. But then I said, you know, what would compassion do? What would wonder do? What would kindness do? So kind of just bringing all these different attributes of things that, you know, you want to be in the world and asking how would that be expressed in the world and allowing myself to try to embody that as best I can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just think that this has been so great. I'm excited. So Daniel will be back with us next week. So we're really excited about that.
Oh,
and then we'll be talking about the, go ahead.
Rob.
That is not
confirmed
at this moment, but we hope to have him with us soon.
He will be with us.
He will be, he will be back.
Yeah.
He will be back. He will be back with a
I'm just putting faith behind all of that. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, the next our closing thing is becoming faithful, and you know we're coming faithful that Daniel will be able to come, and that'll be great. And if not, we'll know that he's going to be on a future show, and we're looking forward to having him coming back and kind of just doing just rounding everything up and talking about just the whole book in general. Like I said, you know, everything really just coming from this place of embracing change and embracing our choices and embracing new ways of being able to just have a new way of leaning into something that we not have never even considered, I think is just a really wonderful gift. So thank you, ladies.
Absolutely. And let's be with what does our definition of faith look like, but not right now, right? But we'll talk about that next week and everything we've already looked at in these last few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. And we kind of talked about that at the beginning about, you know, that's something that we're going to be hopefully being able to look at that from a new perspective, and really encourage people to go back and maybe review some of the shows that we know what we have talked about. So it helps us to kind of be in that new place of just like, oh yeah, I remember that, and being able to bring that forward. So thank you, ladies. You have a great week. And as always, thank you all for our international audience. We just love our cafeers. You guys go out and have a great week. Thanks for joining us.
Love you.
Take care.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.